As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you and everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I choose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
God, thank you for your children, that we are all your children. Help us to hear your voice speaking to us, as we have already heard through the music, through the reading of scripture, and God, through this sermon that you've given to me to share. Please, God, help us to hear your voice as we are talking about love again. Help us to hear you encouraging us toward a life fulfilled by you. We offer this prayer together in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Have any of you all ever gone camping? Raise your hand if you've gone camping. Okay, you can put your hands down. I've been camping exactly once, and it was the fall of my freshman year of high school. Everybody in my school had to go camping. That was part of your PE grade, was to go on this camping trip. We get to the campsite, and we prepare the ground to put up our tents, and we put them up, and then we go and eat our dinner of pastaroni made on the camping stove. Then it starts raining. And so we take cover, run for our tents, and wouldn't you, there are some crickets jumping around inside of our tent. Somehow, we made it to sleep that night and got rid of the crickets. But the worst part of that trip was spending an entire weekend with other ninth graders who had not bathed. Oh. Fast forward. Recently, my husband and our oldest son were preparing for their camping trip with the Boy Scouts. And after that hour that we spent, more than an hour, in REI, I'm now convinced that I have gone on my first and last camping trip. Now, I can see how camping is fun. You get to see beautiful places. You get to see nature in an unspoiled way. And you have this satisfaction of going from this thing that's maybe in a box to like building this tent for you to sleep in. You get to build a campfire and even catch and eat your own food. But none of that is fun to me. Except making s'mores. S'mores is fun, but I could do them in the fire pit in my backyard. Camping is hard, but it's rewarding work. What does that have to do with our scripture this morning? What does camping have to do with love? Well, camping has to do with abiding. Abide, the word abide has several meanings. And one of those meanings has to do with setting up camp. It has to do with dwelling, making a home among. Jesus invites us to abide in his love. Jesus invites us to make camp with him in his love. And as I said, camping is hard, rewarding work. Abiding in the love of Jesus is hard but rewarding work. And just like we have to prepare ourselves to abide, prepare ourselves to go camping, we prepare ourselves to abide in the love of Jesus. We might need to do things that we don't want to do, and we might have to go places that are hard to get to. But the reward for abiding in the love of Jesus is worth it. This abiding happens in community. In our text, Jesus isn't only talking to Peter or James or Nathaniel or Mary by themselves. He's talking to all of the disciples together. And he's inviting them to abide in his love as individuals who are part of a community. They are to love as a body and not as disconnected pieces of a whole. This small community of believers obeyed Jesus and found their source of strength and joy in his love, and they are able to continue what he began. We abide in the love of Jesus to find our own joy and to sustain the hard work of loving one another. This text is a part of the farewell discourse in John. In it, Jesus is saying goodbye to the disciples as he is preparing for crucifixion. And he's giving them directions and cautions as they, unknown to them, prepare to take over his new teaching. In the words that lead up to this morning's reading, just before this in chapter 15, Jesus says that he is the vine and his followers are the branches, that God is the vine grower, and that we can only bear fruit if we abide in Jesus. This morning's scripture goes on to say what the purpose of this abiding is. When we abide in the love of Jesus, when his love is the source for our lives, then we are able to have joy and bear fruit. When we abide in the love of Jesus and we have a right relationship with God, then the fruit that we bear is that we love one another. And why shouldn't that be the fruit? We have been loved so much to the point of Jesus laying down his life for us. Why shouldn't we all then be moved to love one another? As 1 John 4 said last week, we love because he first loved us. When we abide in the love of Jesus, it will become the only way that we know how to love and to live. So, what is the good news? What is new in this text today? We are, after all, still talking about love. Again. The new part here is how through abiding in Jesus and loving one another, our relationship with Jesus changes. Many of us go through phases in our understanding of our salvation in Jesus Christ. When our hearts are first opened, and we first see the reality of our sin, and we're convinced that something in us needs to change, the guilt and fear might soon creep in. And there are some theologies that still focus on the unworthiness of humans for the love of God. But I can't accept that. I can't accept that as being the only thing that is true about us. Because why would God spend so much time and effort attempting to reconcile us to God if we were so completely awful? God loves us. We are, every single one of us, God's beloved little baby. Unfortunately, when we only think in terms of guilt and shame for our sin, we never get to receive God's love. We never get to realize that we are beloved, and we only accept the judgment. God would always seem far away and judging us. So how can we love the God whom we only fear? The good news in today's text is that when we abide in Jesus' love, then we can receive and accept his friendship. As the text says, he has already chosen us as his friends. Will we respond and accept it? When these words were written down in the Gospel of John, a friend was not simply someone that you hung out with. A friend could stand in for you and carry out your business in your absence. Jesus says that by doing his commandments, loving one another, that we cease being servants, and in the text really the word is slaves, we cease being slaves and we become his friends. Now a slave must be loyal to the master, but a friend chooses loyalty. The slave must act out of obedience alone. A friend is trusted with the knowledge of what the master is doing. We do not become equal to Jesus, but we're treated as equal, with similar privileges, responsibilities, and risks. We act as Jesus' friends when we love one another, but not just any kind of love. When we love one another to the degree that we would lay down our lives for our friends. When you think through all of your friends, and even your family, are you willing to lay down your life for any of them? This level of love scares me. When the Conference of Ordained Ministry interviewed me, they asked me who my favorite theologian was. And I said that I don't have a favorite, but there is one who scares me. And that's the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it's because, yes, he was a leader in the American Civil Rights Movement, but before that, he was a local church pastor. He was a public theologian. He was a prophet. He earned a PhD in systematic theology before he began the work in the Civil Rights Movement. But then he heard God calling him to this sacrificial work, and that he was willing to give up his life for his friends and even strangers. That kind of thing scares me. To become a pastor, you don't necessarily have to have it all figured out. And this is one of those things that I don't have figured out, to lay down my life for friends. We sing songs where we say we want to be like Jesus. But Jesus was betrayed, he was despised, and he was killed. He's our Savior because he arose after death, but he still had to suffer. And I'm not sure that most of us are really willing to suffer for the faith or even for our friends. I'm not sure I am. When I meet someone willing to merely be inconvenienced for me, I'm shocked. So what do? We start small. We start local. The first hearers of this text would have been a small, probably persecuted group of believers. The people within this text were also a small group of disciples. To begin to practice loving as Jesus, we can begin in our families and in our church. Thankfully, in our context today, in 2018, we don't typically have the occasion to sacrifice our lives for another person. However, what we can do is to give of our time and of other resources out of love for others. There are some of you in this congregation I know who plan your time such that you can go and help somebody else get to church, that you can help somebody else get to the grocery store or even to transact business. And there are others of you who give time to care for your children, grandchildren, even your friends' children. And some of you give your time to care for your friends' parents. And then there are others who take the time to sit with and visit with people just to let them know that you care about them. To be able to offer ourselves in love to one another, we first have to plug in to the power of Jesus' love. We begin to abide in him, to then rest in his love and power to save us. So, start with your family and the others whom you consider to be your community. For many of us, our most precious asset is time. Our lives consist of time, and how we use the allotted time that we have on this earth determines the content of our lives. So begin a love practice where you lay down your time and offer it to another person. And sometimes it is easier to write a check were to give money to help to heal somebody else or to heal a region that suffered disaster, financial help is usually always needed. Nobody's going to say no to a check. But sharing an object like money doesn't create true relationship. Now, I'd like to speak of the teams that I support at the church about how we're helping to, hopefully, I think we are, form new relationship. I support Engage, Grow, and Connect. And I ask your prayers for all of the work that we're doing as we are living out our future story. And specifically in the teams that I support, I ask your prayers as the Engage team is working to figure out how we might live out this call to be a missional church. We're able to raise money for important causes, but to be missional requires that we invest ourselves as well as our money. And the Grow team, it's working on how we can cultivate deeper relationships with God and with one another at all ages, from our little kids all the way up to our senior adults. And the Connect team is developing consistent ways to welcome new people into this community and to better connect those of us who've been around for a little while. We hosted Coffee with the Pastors this morning to help the people who are new to the church get to know Dalton and me a little bit and get to know the church a little bit. They got to ask questions about theology and baptism and if they have to have it all together. The answer is no, you don't. So when we as a church abide in Jesus' love, we see these new ways to love God and God's people and to cultivate a culture of welcome in his name. And then individually, we begin by pausing more often to just spend time with people. Just pause to look someone in the eye when you're at the grocery store and say thank you to help that other person who's looking for something. Because as you begin deepening your relationships with the people closest in proximity, your eyes and heart will become more drawn to those whom you don't see every day. If you are abiding in Jesus' love, he will inspire you to move outside of the church, your friends, and your family to reach out to others in love. Christ chose the disciples to be his followers. He chose them, and he fully expected for them to transition into being his friends. So who ends up being our friend is totally dependent upon our proximity to one another and our openness to developing a relationship. We have to travel beyond our home communities to see who one another is. There are people that I never would have met had I not served at Must Ministries when I was in seminary. It's a homeless ministry in Marietta. Before serving there, I had never had a conversation beyond hello with someone who was experiencing homelessness. I'd never heard their stories before. I'd never spoken to a senior vice president of a major corporation until I worked at UPS when I was in college. I'd never encouraged a young person to answer their call to ministry until I served at Camp Glisten, our United Methodist camp in North Georgia. Where will you go to meet and to choose your new friends? Jesus has given us the example of a love that leads to transformation through his life, death, and resurrection. The purpose of our faith is for our lives to be transformed through this love, so that we can go transform the world, person by person, by this love. Our first and our continuing action is abiding in the love of Jesus. He is calling us to work hard together. When we abide in him and he in us, we will be amazed at the joyful love that we will share. We will be amazed at the impact that we can make together. We mustn't hide the love that we share within our close circles. Jesus commands us to love one another, both near and far. So abide in God's love, because if we don't, we will abide in the alternative, and it won't give us joy. Abiding in fear, illusions of security, pursuit of power, pursuit of significance, those might be familiar and even sold to us, but God is calling us to better ground. Abide in the love of Jesus, even though it calls us to live in ways that make us uncomfortable. Abide in the love of Jesus to take the risk to love in ways that put our friends first. abide in the love of Jesus and have joy. Learning to love this way may take a lifetime. And that's all the time that we need. Amen.